Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to Unpopular. Spencer Pratt is back on the pod today. You know that Spencer and Heidi are probably my two favorite people ever, obsessed with them. So that's a fun one. And I am going to get Heidi on the show too. I spoke to her a little bit today and we're going to set that up. So yeah, that'll be coming up in a few weeks too. But before we get into Spencer, I just want to talk about a couple of things. So the Lovers Blind reunion, it was off the chain. A few of you messaged me and you finally started watching Lovers Blind and you were like, oh, it's brilliant. And I'm like, yes, I've been telling everyone to watch the damn show. I can't believe some of you, I mean, it's on Netflix. It's like, not hard to watch. Everyone has Netflix. Anyway, I'm officially a Shake stan now. I mean, he killed it at that reunion. The other day, someone actually DM'd me and they were like, I cannot wait for your podcast next week defending Shake, because you guys know me so well and you know that I always love a villain and I feel like he was keeping it real. And yes, I am defending Shake now, even though I've actually been trashing him for the last few weeks, but I love him. I want him on the pod. And I'm still a Deep D fan too. No shade to Deep D, but Shake came in like a wrecking ball and he was just like, this is a TV show. Some of you were motivated to get married to stay on the show. You're all hypocrites trying to act like physical attraction isn't important. He just went in and I loved it. He was like a bit over the top. Like, yes, he comes off like a bit of a narcissist and a douchebag, but a lot of what he was saying was true. And I think they probably did edit him badly. Like someone was saying to me, you know, he really didn't have to talk about Deep disappearance as much as he did. And like, I agree, but also you think about how long they shoot a reality show for. It's full on. Like they long ass shoot days for these shows, constant interviews. The producers ask you the same question over and over again. It's only like, how many episodes is Love is Blind? Like 10 episodes. It's not even that long of a season. So it's very easy to include like every soundbite of Shake saying that he may not be attracted to Deep D. And you know what? Some people said you didn't have to talk about her like that on national television. Well, he does, because it's a reality show. And the whole point is I'm there to keep it real and to tell you how I feel. So you do need to be honest. And like, I did feel bad for Deep D, but you know, she's got the most IG followers out of anyone from the show. She's got those sympathy follows and you know, she is a great person too. So it worked out for her pretty well. I mean, I'm not throwing a pity party for Deep D. Like, I feel like she's killing it. She's the fan fave. The rest of the cast were like clutching their fucking pearls, acting so shocked at everything Shake said, and it was hilarious. And like, I do think that some of them were there for genuine reasons, absolutely. Like Sal was there for genuine reasons and many others, but like some of them definitely had ulterior motives, which is fine. Like Jarrett, who he had the big love story with Ayana. He's like an actor and a podcaster and all these other things. Like he straight up, he didn't even have a job on the show, remember? She's like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, well, my friend stabbed me and now I do hair and sell sneakers. Okay, so you're unemployed and you're on Love is Blind trying to have a come up to get your acting career going, which is fine. But Shake didn't lie. Like Shake's just keeping it real. The fakest person on that show, period, is Kyle. I knew he was a fraud as soon as he kept going, oh my God, I'm so in love with Shayna, because it was like, no, you are absolutely not. Like it made no sense. Shayna wasn't giving him anything. It was very clear that Shayna didn't like him. He was trying to play the Mark card, which Mark did with Jessica. Mark was seeing some other girl on the side and then they made Jessica look so bad season one. So he was trying to do that. And at the reunion, he even, like, he's this thirsty. He pretended to be interested in Deep D and he's like, my biggest regret is like not picking you, Deep D. Like you were just incredible. And it's like, oh my God, like you see that she's the fan favorite, that she's got all the IG followers. And now you're trying to get it on with Deep D for like, you know, a post show showman. It's like, you are pathetic. Shake also called him out for lying about something. He was trying to act shocked about something and, or that he didn't know something. And then Shake's like, what you mean when I told you that last week or whatever? And he's like, like he's just full of it. He kept trying to have a moment with Shayna as well, like to make her like a liar, but she just copped to what she did wrong. I love Shayna as well. She was like, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have accepted your proposal. Like, I'm really sorry. My bad. And he was like trying to hammer at home, but she really took the wind out of his sails because she just owned it. So it's like, what are you going to keep beating on her? Like he was trying to. He wanted her to like just act like a bitch so then he could be the good guy. But she was just like cop to everything and was like pretty chill and normal and came off quite well. So shout out to Shake and Shayna. Also, Nick and Vanessa Lachey, they host Love is Blind. They've just got another dating show. Chunky, shut up. Stop it. Chunky, sorry, my dog's being annoying. Chunky, get on your bed. Get on your bed. Get down. Chunky, sit down. Good. He thinks he hears someone at the door and he's going to start barking and ruining the audio. Nick and Vanessa, they have another dating show coming out called The Ultimatum. It is from the Love is Blind creators. It doesn't look very good at all. It looks like too cheap for Netflix. Like I'm actually really surprised that Netflix would air this from the trailer that I saw. And the concept is nearly married couples who then partner swap with each other to decide if they want to walk down the aisle or not. And then they either get married or walk away at the end. It sounds kind of like a Temptation Island ripoff. I don't know. I'm going to watch it because I'm trying to be more open-minded with these Netflix reality shows now. Although I was going to say that I'm not watching Byron Bay's. Have you heard about this? The Byron Bay reality show on Netflix, but I might be going on another podcast to talk about it since I'm Australian and Byron Bay is an Aussie place. So I may actually be forced to watch that just to go talk about it on another podcast, which I want to get on that podcast and talk about it. I want the follows from that. So, you know, got to do what I've got to do. Also, the SAG Awards were last week, right? And I normally do not pay any attention to awards shows, but everyone kept sending me Succession's win because you guys know Succession is my favorite show, especially if you follow me on Instagram. During last season, I just posted about it constantly. Well, they won Best Ensemble Cast, which meant that Dasha from Red Scare, who plays Kendall's assistant on the show, she got a SAG award too. And shout out to Dasha because she very much deserved it. I mean, the whole cast did. They're amazing. But I went on Twitter after the win and I wanted to see the reaction because I actually think she was trending. And then I clicked it and the haters were out in full force. I actually forget how many people, especially like the sort of woke Twitter, like, you know, group, how much they hate like Red Scare and they hate Dasha for being in Succession. Cause you know, I'm so used to all my friends listening to the Red Scare podcast and people that I know like the show, or if they don't know the show, they don't care. They don't like passionately hate her. And yeah, you just forget how many haters they have. And the tweets attacking her for the win were really just like very personal, very angry, very bitter and vitriolic, like to the point that it was weird. It was like, you're actually too invested in this. Like it's a little bit like Dasha derangement syndrome. And I was thinking about it and it's like people hate to see other people thriving who are just able to authentically be themselves and be successful at it. Like Dasha clearly doesn't play by the rules of, you know, what's politically correct and what you're allowed to say. And it just like triggers people because I think they feel like, hey, I'm out here, you know, living a lie, doing everything that I'm told, not expressing my true opinions because I don't want to get canceled or I don't want to ruffle any feathers. And then this bitch is out here just living however the fuck she wants, saying what she wants, and she's killing it. She's making, I don't know, after the Patreon split and everything, she's probably making 30 plus, then merch sales. I mean, Dasha's probably making like fucking 40, 50 grand a month just from podcasting. She's doing movies. She's in Succession, which is like the hottest, most critically acclaimed show. And these people can't stand it. Like it does trigger something inside of them. It's like a jealousy or a disgust that somebody would dare defy these suffocating social norms and like live to tell the tale. Like Joe Rogan's the same too. Like the haters, they act like Rogan and Dasha are so repugnant because, you know, they say offensive things or they whatever, I don't know, spread misinformation. But it really just comes down to the fact that people like them have found a way to be incredibly successful and popular and kind of beloved by large groups of people and successful in, you know, in the mainstream too, while committing, you know, wrongthink. Like they can get away with pushing all these boundaries that normal people are afraid to like go near or to do. you know, other people are enslaved to PC culture in a way. Like, a lot of us bite our tongue, and then you see someone like Adasha going out and just doing whatever she wants and killing it, and I think it just really triggers people. I actually thought that Dasha was going to be a sell. I should have had more faith in her, but I did think with Succession and her acting career in Hollywood taking off, I'm like, she's probably going to pull back on Red Scare. She's probably going to let, like, Anna do all of the sort of spicy topics, but she's, like, not at all. Like, I actually feel like she's, if anything, she's, like, spicier than ever on there. Like, I was catching up on some of the recent episodes, and she just, like, she doesn't give a fuck. Like, she's still being the same Dasha that she's been on Red Scare for a very long time. I mean, they even had Alex Jones on, like, a couple of months ago during her time on Succession, so she clearly doesn't give a fuck. And she even said in one episode that her kind of controversial image in the, I guess, the podcasting world and, you know, parts of media, she's controversial, that it's starting to cost her work in Hollywood. But, you know, she said, well, look, I'm okay with it because it's my principles and I want to stick with it. And it's kind of amazing that she even got Succession, to be honest, like, in the climate that we're in where, you know, a lot of people are silenced and a lot of people, you know, can't say, you know, push the envelope at all, and that she's been able to get on, like, the hottest show on TV, even though she has a small role on there. I mean, it's not that small, but it's not a lead role, but, like, any role on that show, that's, like, a big deal. And I've seen woke Twitter, like, people on woke Twitter at times, like, they do sort of try to cancel her. Like, they'll compile her tweets, like, this is Dasha from Succession, look what she tweeted, and it'll be screenshots. It's like, dude, no one cares, like, because, like, we already know this is who she is and what she's like, so it doesn't work. Like, she's not Chrissy Teigen, who's pretending to be virtuous and then has this, like, hidden treasure chest of problematic behavior to be uncovered and blasted on public display. Like, we are, like, everyone knows that this is who Dasha is long before she even got Succession. So I don't know, but I would not be surprised if by the time the next season rolls around, which I'm assuming that she'll have a bigger role in it, because she is the love interest of cousin Greg, who is, like, a main character. So I'm feeling like she'll be on the show even more. And we probably will see a bigger, you know, progressive publication drop, you know, a damning Dasha hit piece with, like, you know, every bad thing she's ever, every naughty soundbite from her podcast will be out there in every tweet, or they might do a you know, a Rogan-style N-word compilation. I wonder if that was even, like, I wonder if the person that made that compilation, the Rogan one, was that just a normal sort of, like, social justice warrior on Twitter, or was that, like, was there someone bigger behind that that got that together and then, you know, put it out? What is it, like, astroturfed it out or whatever? I don't know if I use that term correctly. You guys know what I'm trying to say. So we'll probably get that from... we'll probably get the Dasha hit piece coming out, I reckon, by the time the next Succession season. And then it will be very interesting to see if they can cancel her or not, because she kind of is, she's got one foot in the mainstream and then she's still got one foot in, like, indie podcast world. But, you know, I don't think they'll succeed, because they couldn't cancel Dave Portnoy. They couldn't cancel Rogan, and they tried. I think that, you know, I think that if you're just sort of honest about who you are, and you don't play by their rules, it's much more difficult to cancel you if you just don't, like, subscribe to their way of thinking and their way of living. And Dasha clearly has, like, Hollywood power players that are fans of her, and, you know, notable artists like Mike White is known as a Red Scare fan. Clearly, whoever's doing Succession must be a fan if they thought to, like, cast her in that. She tweeted that she did the Madonna audition. She auditioned for the Madonna biopic. She didn't get it. But, I mean, if you're even being seen for auditions for big stuff like that, like, clearly, you know, you're not kryptonite in the industry. So, I don't know. Anyway, congratulations, Dasha. We love to see it. I look forward to you inevitably surviving attempt of cancellation, which we know is coming, but I'm very confident that you will thrive. Also, shout out to my latest patrons, Fiona, Jesse, Gigi, Stephen, Daniel, Lauren, and Kate. I did drop a new Patreon episode a couple of days ago with my thoughts on The Housewives of New Jersey and my thoughts on them replacing Teresa, or Teresa doing a spin-off, and, you know, Margaret and all of that bit. I did that on Patreon. I talked a lot about Salt Lake City, specifically the obsession over there with like microaggressions and cultural appropriation and, you know, racism. It feels like that's all people on that show talk about. And I also talked about at length my new love of Breaking Bad because I just binged the whole series for the first time, blown away, obsessed. So I did a Breaking Bad review on the Patreon. So you can sign up for that, patreon.com/unpopularjp. I've since watched, since I recorded that Patreon the other day, I watched El Camino over the weekend, loved it, totally cried over Jesse, and I'm about to start Better Call Saul, so I'm just a Breaking Bad superstan now. I even want to buy Walt and Jesse have their own, I think it's like a tequila. I don't really drink much alcohol. I don't know anything about tequila. It's a, what's mezcal? Sorry if I'm saying it wrong. I don't really drink, guys, except like a pina colada if I go out. But I want to buy it, but it's like $200 and something and I'm meant to be on a budget because I'm, you know, furnishing my house that I'm moving into. So that's going to have to wait. One more thing before I bring Spencer out. Something I want to say about my listeners. So I got a couple of messages after the last episode because I had a little rant about like masks and Justin Trudeau being a little Nazi bitch or something. I can't remember exactly what I said. It was heat of the moment, but a few people messaged me and they, you know, they said, I disagree with you, but they were really nice about it. They were like, yo, I love your podcast. I'm a fan of the pod, but, you know, masks are important and we need to wear them to protect the elderly, etc. And I was like, you know, I'm cool with, you know, masking and distancing around vulnerable people. Of course, I was just, you know, talking about the hypocrisy and, you know, certain rules not making sense. Like, you know, walk in the restaurant one step, put the mask on, walk three steps to the table, take it off, sit down, like ridiculous things like that. And anyway, and someone else messaged me about the Canadian truckers and they're like, the truckers were bad. My daughter was near there and they were so noisy and they were just honking their horns all night. And I was like, yeah, but like, that's the pro, like if they were there peacefully, like the protests wouldn't have had an effect. Like, I mean, it sucks that, you know, civilians, you know, were kept up for days on end, but you know, the government should have sorted that out. Anyway, the whole point is that it was nice to have people that disagreed with me, but they were like, especially on such contentious issues, which these are, you know, political issues. And for people to just be like cool about it, message me and be like, hey, I love your show, but instead of being like totally triggered and like, fuck you, and leaving me a one-star review. I mean, I've seen other podcasts. I was reading a review of someone else's podcast the other day, and this person was like, used to love the show, but you mispronounced this word, and I'm sick of your monotone voice. One star. Like, people in the podcasting world, like listeners, like they're pretty gnarly. They either really like you or they really hate you, I guess, because a podcast is a lot of investment in someone's time. You know, it's a big ask to get someone to listen to you for an hour of their precious time. So they either are really into it or they're really against you. And it doesn't take much to trigger people and to get them hating on you. Like, if you guys go and read reviews of podcasts, if you're bored of your favorite podcast, go through the reviews and you'll be shocked at some of the weird one-star reviews over the tiniest things. Like, you got this one, it's not Smith Street, it's Swanson Street, one star. Like, people literally do that. So I was just like, that is really cool that I've been able to get like chill listeners who, even if I'm doing something like hardcore, like a COVID rant, and they totally disagree, they're still like, you know, love the pod, but, you know, I don't feel the same. So love my listeners. Anyway, let's get into the Spencer Pratt interview. Make sure you're following me on social media at UnpopularJP on Twitter and Instagram. You can support the show over on Patreon at patreon.com/unpopularJP. All the links for everything you need are in the show notes, including Pratt Daddy Crystals, including his new show on Looped Live. It's all down there. So thanks for listening, guys, and I will see you all next week. Bye. All right, guys, Spencer Pratt is back on the pod. He's got a new show called Judge Me on LoopedLive.com. He's running a crystal empire over at Pratt Daddy Crystals. And, I mean, he's probably the best reality star of all time. Like, let's be real. So, welcome back, Spencer. How are you?
Well, my mom said that I needed to get back on your podcast immediately. That's why I reached out. So, my mom's my manager these days. So,
does she listen to Unpopular?
I wouldn't be surprised if she was one of your Patreon members. I think she's that committed. I think you're now her number two besides Heather McDonald. And not saying that, you know, she's just an OG Heather. She's new to your world.
Do you, well, shout out to Spencer's mom. Do you think you're the best reality star of all time? I feel like it's you and like Tiffany Pollard, maybe.
I feel like I definitely put in the most energy, but there's so many incredible, you know, people now. So I would say I put in the most energy to be successful at a reality star. And then, thank you, Ninja. God, I've got dogs with fur balls. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of good freaking entertaining people now. I mean, I feel like there's more reality stars than TikTokers at this point.
Yeah, Farrah Abraham kills it. Like, you drop her into any show and it's just like chaos.
Yeah, Natalie Nunn is amazing too. She was, the real test is who on Celebrity Big Brother England, I feel like I watched all those and whoever could really make it in there. But I just got offered a new reality show that Heidi is thinking I shouldn't do because she thinks it's too crazy. And for the amount of money, it's not worth it. But I think I got to do it just because I got to
wait. What is
back on TV.
What is it? Give me some clues.
It's a big show in the UK. I'm not sure if they did it in Australia, but they're bringing it over to a network in the US. And
is it like I'm a Celeb again?
It looks way wilder, way crazier.
Oh, I think I know what it is. Can I say it or should we not say it?
I mean, if you say something, I'm not going to say yes.
Okay, you don't confirm. I bet it's is it SAS? The army one?
If that's what you were to guess, I don't know. It's a show from England. There's lots of shows from England. But yeah, so.
That's hardcore. If it's that show, that's brutal. But I actually, it's so funny that this hypothetical, we don't know if Spencer's doing SAS or not. So I'm just like, relax, bloggers out there. But I was going to say to you, you should do SAS because you're so into all this like military shit. Like, I feel like all your friends are just like, I don't know, like weird CIA people and like bodyguards and stuff. Like, that's your circle.
I'm into all that, but I feel like at the end of the day, I'm so soft and just love margaritas and tacos. And I got like strong Wi-Fi signals. So I think, you know, I like to energetically be connected to the people that are built like that. But I, you know. I take too many supplements now, too. It'd be hard to even go do any reality show. I'd be like, I need to take about 80 different pill bottles.
Like, you've got me onto so many supplements now because I'm obsessed with the Symbiotica since you influenced me to buy that. I fucking love it. I've got like four different things from them.
The zinc is so intense. Have you tried the zinc?
No, I've got the magnesium, I've got the elderberry, I've got the vitamin C, and I have the mushroom fudge.
The zinc is one of the few supplements. I even messaged the owner. I was like, whoa, dude. And he kind of like warned people, like, it's intense. Like, but if you take the zinc, you feel like you're about to throw up. Like, it's so gnarly. It's that potent. But I just recently had, Heidi and I got our blood work done, which was fascinating. I was doing the animal-based carnivore diet from that Dr. Paul Salandino. And, you know, he doesn't even suggest to do eggs. He's more about meat only, but you can do animal-based, which doesn't mean you could have eggs. So I was eating so many eggs a day. I find out I am the most allergic person on planet Earth to eggs from these. Like, I had done the allergy blood test where they prick you and, you know, it said eggs, but it said a lot of things. But this blood test from, you know, this guy does Delta 4, SEAL Team 6. He's the nutritionist for these guys. And he goes, you know, it's a 2-hour conversation about all the details of your blood and you get all these charts. And my body was fighting like I had COVID-19 every day. That's how many antibodies it was putting against eggs. So I already feel so much better. So my long story short is eventually you should do this blood test and have this guy, what's his name? Chris, I'll think of it.
I think I follow him. Is he the Symbiotica guy? Or is
No. He was actually on an episode of The Kardashians. He did Kim's blood. And it was so funny because he's saying that Kim and I have the same, like the exact same score on these deficiencies for like seed oils. And he said Kim was arguing with him and he's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Because she's like, no, seed oils are bad. But I thought that was funny. Chris.
Is this why Heidi's eating all of the raw organs now?
Yeah. So this guy, Dr. Paul Saladino, the carnivore doc on Instagram. So he has a book called The Carnivore Code that we listened to the audiobook. She didn't listen to all of it, but I did. And like the most nutrients are in these live organs. And I also follow this guy, the Liver King. And I said to Heidi, I was like, these people are blowing up with the raw organs. I was like, you could be the most famous influencer as a woman eating these raw. And she's built differently. Like she can really just eat this stuff. I can't. And I'm like, so if she really did it every day, I think she would become like the most famous person on the internet.
Well, her organ stuff was already going viral. Like I posted on my IG, I was like, man, like poor Heidi, does she just have to keep eating like, you know, raw cow's liver because this shit keeps going viral? I feel bad for her.
The sound that liver made. It was so, she was supposed to eat the testicles. We had, it was very hard to get those bull testicles. It was like in a favor we had to ask from Rome Ranch. Shout out Force of Nature. We had to wait a month for these. They like, this was a big deal to get the bison testicles, and she was just chewing them and she couldn't get into the like the balls, and ends up she was supposed to like cut and then like pull the like the ball sack out. I don't know, so she blew that, so I don't know if we'll get another set of those balls.
I can't, that's fucking crazy.
But I was saying she should do a, you know how there's hot ones, like the hot sauce show? She should do a YouTube show, like where you come on her show and you eat live organs and then like she talks to you and like, I don't know.
That's a pretty good idea, actually.
I mean,
you get some wellness sponsors for that too.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a solid pitch. She actually came up with the best reality show idea ever and reached out to the big shot producer, Alex Baskin, that we know, and our manager. And they were like, this is the best idea. And we'll see if she probably won't end up getting credit, because if they were to give her the credit for it, they probably wouldn't let her be on the show, because that's just how networks are haters. They don't want to like, you know, give her the juice. So she'll probably end up just being, if it works out, talent on it, which would be great. But she thought of it. It's such a good idea. I'll tell you offline.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I want to know. Well, you're killing it on TikTok now with the Unfiltered Hills recaps. I actually died when you said that Heidi was like the OG Sydney Sweeney for her fake pregnancy scene. I think you said Jason Waller was like doing drugs or doing something. I don't know. You're just like spilling all the tea on TikTok now with the Hills.
I was going all in and I was enjoying it so much, having a little tequila and doing it. And then I had a conversation with Alex Baskin, who I feel like is a trusted advisor, and he thought I should just stop and not even talk about the Hills ever again. That was his, he was like, it's an emotional balance, because I hate the Hills so much and I hate this cast so much. And I use the word hate, like, you know, not like, just frustrated. I saw a TikTok of Jersey Shore all as a crew going out and just like the crowd going nuts and like a rock band. So when I say hate, it's just frustration that this cast really just sabotaged a television show, television checks, the best gig, like production that would just buy you 1942 and all the best champagne and, you know, just take you to the best dinner. I mean, it's so mind-boggling. And here they are. This is blows my mind now. It was hard for me to even keep it cool when I called Brody the other day and I was like, wait, you're doing... It was interesting that it was announced right after my TikTok started going viral, that it was announced like a week later, Hills cast members are doing recap of the original Hills podcast, the same come. And I was like, so I think it's like Brody, maybe Audrey. I'm like, these people can't even deliver. They don't even want to work and make a show, but they're fine to then get it canceled and then go do a podcast talking about the old ones. So
wait, that's the biggest betrayal, right? You've got to be pissed at Brody now because you and Brody fell out during New Beginnings because he was not putting it out on camera and then he apologized to you and you guys worked it out. Now you must be like, what the fuck, dude? Now you're doing a Hills recap podcast.
And his response was like, dude, it was a big check. Like, I'm like, yeah, if there's a big check connected to the Hills, you need to tell them as my new best friend again. Yeah, I'll do it, but I need Spencer to co-host with me. And it's like when I did my Facebook live audio, I called Brody. I got him 15 grand to talk to me for an hour. So that was my first call. It's just frustrating. Like we don't have that team, or just I'm not part of the team no matter what. So part of me wants to go all in because I'm only on episode like 2 of season 2. Like, and what's in my brain of how I will just torch this franchise and everyone involved. I already have Heidi's sister calling Heidi, like trying to pay me off, not even to like recap her. Oh my god!
I think you should go for it. Like, what is Alex's concern? Does he think it's going to fuck up other reality opportunities? Because the thing is that, like, and I know this just from working in Daily Mail and working in the industry and stuff. When you get famous off of something, so like, no matter what you do, you can do a fucking 1,000 other projects. Like, you will always be mostly remembered for that one thing. So, if you can like get some like, you know, TikTok followers out of it and like build a TikTok thing, and I feel like that stuff's sort of going viral, your Hills recaps, like I feel like go for it. Like, what is Alex worried about?
See, he's just in a world unlike me where TikTok followers mean nothing to him, and he just wants me to just move forward and have my brain on, you know, new projects and new hustles. And I feel that, but I went up almost 100,000 TikTok followers in a week, which is so hard to get now. You know, I was going up in increments of like 100 before that. And I had in 1 week, like I think 4 videos hit 1 million views, and I haven't even tapped into the good. This is just, we're easing in to like the stuff that's coming up on this show. It'll melt people's brain. And I also feel like being able to control a narrative after the fact, there are people that are reading this and I'm showing them like, really, you know, I wasn't against LC. I was the one setting LC up with Brody, and people think I'm this, oh, I was team LC from the jump. I was team Hills. I was team success. I was team make the show good. And people got totally manipulated and programmed by Adam DeVillo, who was anti Spencer, because I was coming in like, this show sucks, and trying to produce with his co-producer, Sean Travis, who I had just done The Princes with. And he was like, who does this kid think he is, type energy. And now I watch it because I never watched The Hills. This is the first time I've ever watched The Hills. I watched The New Beginnings recently, but I never watched the OG Hills, because this is back in the day, you get a screener sent to you and it's like, I'm not sitting down and watching. This is when we had money to go spend and live the life. Like, I'm not like, oh, let me watch these idiots.
let me watch Audrina sit
by. Yeah, my God. So, but a couple of things I've already caught, I'm like, wow. They make it totally look like I was Heidi's boyfriend, and they edit things so out of sequence that never even happened. And I'm like, this is so shady. And if I had watched it back in the day and I had had Instagram and I had had IG Live, like, I would have never been hated. I would have gone on, been like, Heidi, can you please tell them how many boyfriends you have right now and how we're not a official? Like, people just thought like, oh my God. Like, and then it made LC look like a good friend when she knew I wasn't Heidi's boyfriend. She was just, they were all just playing into this lie. So that's why if I can get millions and millions of views on all this, I will, I think, change what people thought, you know, a huge new audience. So that's why I was all in. But Heidi's over it too, because she doesn't even want me. She's like, I hate these people. So,
well, I mean, you're going so hard on TikTok though. I was thinking, is this you in a way shutting the door on Snapchat? Because look, for people that don't know the background, you were like one of the first big like Snapchat celebrities. You got Snapchatter of the Year 2018. You were like the biggest thing on Snapchat. Then they changed the algorithm and never changed it back. And that just, I don't know, like cut your views big time. And are you a bit like, is you a bit like, I'm TikTok now?
Well, Snapchat, like, you know, it's weird because I was like that. But then, yeah, like a week ago, Heidi was getting 3 million views a snap a day when, whoa, I was talking smack about Snap. So I wonder if they're like, no, the algorithm still works. So then I was like, okay, I'm done talking smack about Snap. And then they announced they finally, which I've been asking for 7 years, maybe eight now, how long have they been around, for them to put ads in your story like YouTube and let you monetize your story. Because if that was the case, I would be as rich as Jake Paul or Logan Paul or any of these people, because I made more content than all of them combined. And just the amount of content with the views that, you know, obviously YouTube pushes these big stars so they can make more money on the ad. Everyone, it's, you know, everyone wins. So when that happens, I will go back into Snapchat. Like, I'm going to go Truman Show on it and just go 24 hours. But right now, it's kind of just like, why would I fill my day all day long and put that energy into it and have music and try? Because I try to make it entertaining for no money. It's like, I might as well put that effort into doing a YouTube channel, which I keep charging all the batteries and getting all the cameras. But I should have learned
how
to
do. YouTube's hard.
You need to edit. Like, I'm not an editor. That's why that Emma Chamberlain got so big. She's good at editing. And even if you think about Alexander Cooper, her background, I guess, was doing YouTube channel and editing her own YouTube channel. So she even used that knowledge into podcasts. You really need to know that stuff or have the budget to have a filmer and an editor. And if I had that,
they sign with, don't they? The YouTubers now, don't they sign with like production companies that?
Oh, yeah. It's like, and they take cuts and they do all the, they set the, you know, the thumbnails, pictures, how they went, and all the freaking tags. But, I think this loop though, I was trying to tell them, you know, I love my new show, it's fun and everything, but I think what we should do on Looped, and we'll see if they come around and make a deal. I was saying how Whitney and her boyfriend or husband or did their Hills recaps on YouTube. I was saying, let's do that on Looped with a live audience where you can come on stage, ask questions as we're watching.
Oh, that's good. That's,
you know, and then you can also, with this loop setup, pay for like after show backstage pass. And we can even talk about stuff that we don't want to talk about. So it's Patreon with the live virtual experience. I gave them that pitch. So hopefully they come with the money to make it worth Heidi to sit down and go through just hell, because Heidi, the show is like trauma.
I mean, that's
like,
where the money is. It's like traumatizing. It sucks when you get, like, it's hard when you get known for like one thing. You know, people always want me to talk about the Housewives, and sometimes I just get sick of it and I don't want to. And then I end up going back to it because I'm just like, you know, like, it's, you know, you want to do your own thing, but you're also like, well, you got to give the people what they want. People want the Hills tea, you know,
And that's what Heidi's saying, that I should just do all sorts of TikToks, like the dance and skits and
don't the do the dances. She
just, no, but like, she means just do everything that's trending on TikTok, like be a TikTok, like, and put in the Hills stuff. But I was saying, like, this, why even do any of that if I just can have a sip of tequila, hit play, say one thing and boom, almost get 1 million views. Like, that's a solid. Like,
well, you want to do your own thing. That's like with Snapchat. You would, what you were doing on Snapchat with the hummingbirds and stuff, like, no one's doing that. Like, you don't want to just come and copy what the, like, 16-year-old, like, you know, what Addison Rae is doing. Like, you want to do, like, Spencer Pratt.
It's even crazy. This guy took my whole hummingbird thing on TikTok. This guy, he even took my name and my hummingbird feeders that I sold that were actually called the Hum Daddies, and he made his account Hum Daddy. Good for him, because he puts in more effort than I would ever want to dress up all day long.
Have you DM'd him? Like, I mean, what the fuck?
It's like, he deserves his fame. You know, like, if you're going to dress up in a costume every day to feed hummingbirds and make these elaborate costumes, like, he, if I took it this level, he went up, and that's the game. So, but they, even the hummingbird thing is now taken on TikTok. I couldn't even do. It's like, all, every now and then I post hummingbird videos that I think are insane. They do no views. And then you go to see this guy, like, dressed as a like a party platter of, you know, whatever. It's wild.
Do you get a lot of haters on TikTok? I saw one of your recent TikToks. You posted about the gas prices, and the comment section was like, you know, we'll drive a smaller car. Like, that's what you get for voting for Biden. I'm like, there's a lot of haters on here.
Oh, no. TikTok has, you go live on TikTok, it's the craziest experience you've ever seen in your life. That's what now I get. And everyone's like, make me a mod. They give you the opportunity to have like up to 20 moderators, because they count. Like, obviously TikTok knows there's that many trolls. So you make everyone moderators and everyone's blocking people. It's so wild. But the other day, I got up to like 40,000 viewers on TikTok live. So they're, you know, where if I'm lucky on Instagram, I'm seeing 800, you know. So yeah, it's just, it's that app is just popping. But the Hills stuff gets no haters. It's just anything you do. And I knew it right when I posted this. I said, watch this. What's so funny, if you scroll down my account before anything with Ukraine, I was doing TikToks of gas prices like months ago that were insane. And it had nothing to do with Ukraine and Russia. It's just, it is what it is. I'm not, anybody with a brain can figure it out. But I knew what I said to Heidi. Watch everyone be like, it's worth it for people in Ukraine. And dude, I'm like, what do you mean? We're literally buying oil from Russia, but okay. Like, wait.
It's crazy. And I was talking last week, and actually, maybe I did this on my Patreon, but just about all the celebs trying to make like Ukraine about themselves, like the fucking ego. It's insane.
That's why I never, and I try never to get involved in anything political or anything. And somebody will be like, it's not political, it's human. It's like, you know what? If I'm Elon Musk, I can get involved. I have the access and the money. I'm Jeff Bezos, you know. And people are like, you know, I watch people, like I follow this one girl that wore our crystals that is Russian. So I follow her and she's posting like, all you girls at Fashion Week that are, you know, do one post about Ukraine, like, I see you. And it's like, no, that's their job. They're models. I don't need any model in Fashion Week to post about Ukraine. That's not going to change Putin. It's not going to change anybody on the ground in Ukraine. So that mindset, this world we now live in where everyone is so powerful with their platforms, that if you post a story or if you post this square, this, like, you're making change. Like, what are you talking about? Unless you are writing $1 billion checks or funding a resistance with $1 billion checks, like, it's I try not even go into that world, but I am trying to do everything I can to get our LA County Sheriff reelected. So that is what I've learned, is local politics
that makes a
matters.
Big difference.
That matters to my life. Who the president is, yeah, I guess it matters, but really, like, for Gunner, it's these, who's the health director I've learned of the freaking this, and the city supervisor, and oh, if they're gonna put all the homeless people at Gunner's Park, that means the person that matters is this city councilman. So I do now, after the last 2 years of experiencing life in LA, I'm like, okay. And now the mayor, who owns the guy running for mayor owns my Palisades Village, this guy Rick Caruso, and I've met him so many times, and people are messaging me like, you know, who, and one thing I do know, forget politics, is how you can, if you're a billionaire and you consistently come up to, like, you know, Gunner was 3, he was 4, come up to Gunner, talk to him, give him time, and just that energy before, way before he was planning on, like, and now this is what, 2 years, 3, like, I've watched this guy personally, I'm like, this guy is somebody I'll get behind. I don't know these other candidates, I know this person is a good, genuine human. And so people are like, in my DMs, like, he's a flip-flop. I'm like, you know, it's lose. It's,
well,
it's,
What's LA like now? I mean, because I always see, obviously, I'm here in Australia, and I always see the stuff about, like, Cali's a shithole now, like, you know, Cali's jumped the shark, LA's horrible, and then sometimes people will message me, and they go, no, it's actually, like, great, like, that's just fake news, like, what's...
Well, thankfully, I live in the last utopia of Palisades. If Palisades wasn't the way the Palisades was, we'd definitely not be, we'd be living in another state, 100%. You leave Palisades, and it's... Like, I mean, I've grown up here my whole life, so, and I was out and about. So I would say, yes, everything you see is not fake news, and it's rapidly just out of a horror movie.
Yeah, I get people from Orange County as well going, oh, wait, we're so glad we're in Orange County, not LA. Like,
yeah, it's like, if I had the budget and then we had to leave the Palisades, you know, Newport Beach, or it would be fun to move to Laguna Beach just to make Elsie's life just extra miserable. You know, Elsie moved to the Palisades and she didn't realize that I think she thought we lived in Santa Barbara at the time, or she talked, but she didn't get that, you know, we still would come stay at my parents' house here and go to like the local restaurants. I think we almost saw her once, and then she literally sold her house, which is such a weird world that Gunner's, like one of Gunner's little best friend's parents were renting that house from the owner. So like all last year we've been hanging out in LC's Palisades house, like drinking. I'm like, the world is a simulation. Like of all the houses in the Palisades.
Do you think she actually sold it to get away from you two?
Oh, 100%. You know, there's no logic to sell that house. It was only going up in value.
Well, I was going to ask you about, because you said about you would consider moving to Newport if you could. Heidi on the Housewives of OC, because I get so many DMs about this, and she had a tweet that, like the other week saying she would love to be on the OC, and that kind of, I feel like that went viral a little bit. People want it, but Andy's yeah, a hater, because I googled, and Andy's been dissing her for a while.
Said negative things ever, and it's just so weird, because if you think about all the shows he's been overseeing, it's like Heidi never did anything that any of his stars haven't done, you know. It's a weird,
I think his mind is still in like OG Hills era of thinking that Heidi's at the front of a club calling the paparazzi or something. Like, he doesn't understand now that like Heidi's evolved and she's like a wife and a mom, and she'll be perfect for Housewives of OC too, because that does have that suburban kind of mom vibe. Like, that's Heidi.
I think her only chance on a Housewife franchise would be to like, if we had moved to Salt Lake City and we were like in a new franchise with new people and, you know.
Like, I don't know. In OC though, because they also need like, they need some kind of like noisy casting for OC that's going to get headlines and like get some energy back in, and they want to go younger. Like, they've got Noella now who's younger. I mean, I feel like Heidi would be like, Heidi's just perfect for that. You've got to hook up a lunch or something with Andy. So you must have a mutual friend with Andy. Let Andy see your life now.
I mean, it's obviously not possible, because if Alex Baskin even thought, you know, he could make that move, and you know, I think if we were crazy rich, went and bought the biggest house in Orange County, in like just. Say, you know, I think we could pull it off if all of a sudden before the show even started filming, we're out there for a year just stunting, going to South Coast Plaza, you know, just taking over the OC on our own. And then I think it could pull off, but it's, you know, it's expensive, that lifestyle. That's why everyone's going to jail.
I wanted The Hills New Beginnings to have a bit more of a Housewives vibe. I know that you wanted to make it, bring in like the new generation and the younger people, which I get, but then I feel like that's a different show. And they did that on Vanderpump Rules, where they kind of had the OGs and they brought in all these new people, and it just felt very disjointed. Like, I kind of just wanted The Hills OGs, but with your families, and do it like a Housewives, but just like younger and hipper. And then obviously people having drama and stuff, not being, you know, fake like they were.
That would have been perfect if everybody wanted to actually like individually make a show. So the only reason I wanted younger people is I knew the cast we had, you know, it wasn't going to work. So our best bet was try to get our own Siesta Key version of The Hills that we kind of blended with it.
Has MTV ever talked about doing like a mashup, like, you know, like putting like Jersey Shore and Hills and other people together on a trip or something, like a crossover?
MTV hasn't, but maybe somebody else has just suggested that.
Oh,
so there you go. That maybe you and Heidi are on the same wavelength.
Oh, epic. Well, you know, I was thinking though, you must watch what Jersey Shore have done with Family Vacation. I think they're going into season 5, and you must just be like, man, like they kill it, like the way they stick together and stuff.
Forget that. They've each had like spin-offs off it. Like Snooki's got Messiness. Pauly D and them have Shot of Love. What is that on season 3?
Oh, is that still going?
Well, at least got to, I know, oh, yeah, that's two or three, lot, yeah. You know, it's like, I'll take 2 or 3 spin-off season checks. My God.
Yeah, that's so, Snooki and yeah. The other, what was the Snooki and JWoww had their own show.
Yeah, I'm saying right now, even, they just got these, you know, I feel like there's shows right now they're getting Yeah, no, it's mind-boggling. But like I said to Heidi, they were always the bigger superstars. They came and wiped out the Hills when the Hills was in its prime. And I go back and I watch the Hills. I'm like, this wouldn't even air nowadays. It's just, it was a different time in the world. And TV reality was so new. I'm like, oh my God, like this show is like watching paint dry.
When you were getting all those views on Snapchat, when you were getting like 8 million views, were you doing sponsored stuff on Snapchat? Like, were you making money off those?
No, that's why it's so frustrating. And I was always calling Snap, like, can you put ads in this? Like, hello. So yeah, the other day I just saw like a flashback of me like freaking out. I think it was probably 4 or 5 years ago when I hit like 8 million views on a day. And I'm like going nuts around the house. So yeah, that is an emotional roller coaster. And then that was where I think we sold so many more crystals because I reached such a bigger audience. So that was why we were doing, you know, 320,000 a month, because I was reaching so many more people. And this is when they weren't weird about doing swipe ups. And they, like, I'll never forget that they told me when I was like, where'd all my numbers go? And they're like, are you putting swipe ups in your story? I'm like, I'm swiping up to the Snap store you built for my crystals in the app. Like, they just, it just turned into, you know, we need to make business. Like, once they add business ads, it's hard not to say like on a podcast. I need to figure out other words.
Do you think Britney's getting any of her like vacations and stuff comped, or do you think she's just like blowing her money? Because I feel like Britney should be like, I wonder how Britney's managing her money, because obviously she's not been used to having control of her finances for so long. And even probably before the conservatorship, she probably still had a lot of people doing her money because she was so young. And I'm like, damn, she needs to get like an Instagram manager or something to be getting like all these trips comped, because she's just going to like blow through all her money just like flying to Hawaii and stuff.
What I'm hoping, Heidi and I were talking about it the other day, is on my Instagram, they now offer pay you for your reels. So I don't know, but she would, hopefully her boyfriend went in and set it up where it's not too hard. You just like click a creator fund, you click. So every time, if I get 8 million views, which I have not, I would get $5,550. Everyone has a different tier, I'm pretty sure. So maybe if she gets 15 million views, she gets 15 grand, and who knows? But I'm hoping for all these Instagram reels, she's getting paid. It's the easy, like,
yeah, because I like look at her, like, she's just going around, like, living her life and, like, good for her. But I'm like, she's probably going to blow through her money faster. And she seems to like expensive stuff. Like, she seems to like the best of the best in terms of, like, hotels and service and everything. I'm like, damn, she should be, like, tagging the resort and stuff and, like, getting this paid for.
What Heidi does not understand, and if nobody's explained to her, that the same photo she's posting on Instagram, if she posted on OnlyFans, she'd be making solid $1 million a month. Like, you don't have, even if you put the emoji on your nipple and on your crotch, you just do that photo in OnlyFans, making it like an exclusive thing. And if you don't like the word OnlyFans, like, I don't know about Patreon's rules, but you're not doing nudity. Like, she should be using a paywall for this. So Instagram is, hopefully Instagram's paying her. Like, well, the stuff she posts, I'm like, what?
Yeah, I was thinking, well, the thing with Britney, if she did OnlyFans, it wouldn't, because I know that OnlyFans has tried to rebrand and not be like straight up porn stuff, but people would pay just to read Britney's posts or to have like a more intimate connection with, like, she wouldn't even have to be naked. Like, they would pay just to look at a picture of her.
If she just made her captions as the messages to everybody, like her thoughts, and just made it like a journal, but the way she's just posting this for free, and not doing ads and not getting paid for anything on Instagram. Kris Jenner needs to come in and be like, let me manage you, girl. Like,
well, that's what makes me think that she doesn't have anyone. Like, she's just doing her own thing with Sam. Oh, it's just her and
100%.
Sam. 100%. Because
there's no way. Skims deal? Like, why isn't she with Kim doing Skims? And
she should be like the face of brands and everything. Like,
she's getting fit too. Like, it's like,
she looks great. Healthy. She looks kind of like the best she's looked in years.
Looking like a trainer in that last photo.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam, if you work out with that guy, Sam, every day, you're going to get in shape. That guy is a trainer. Like,
yeah,
he knows what he's doing. So,
one of the things that you've said years ago, and kind of I didn't get it at the time, but now that I've been at Daily Mail for years and everything, like I totally get it, is you always said that to be famous and to like reach a certain level, like you do need like a huge machine behind you. Like you've used Kim Kardashian as an example. Like it's funny because I've totally seen it in Australia now. Certain people, I won't call someone out by name, but like we have a reality star here. She's killing it now. Like she's got her own radio show. She's got a huge podcast. She's getting all the endorsement deals and she's been on like a bunch of other shows. And she really, like, she does have talent and she does have like star quality, but I could see how like the networks decided, oh, this is like who we're going to make a star. And then they put her on these things and give her all these deals and stuff. And it's like, it's hard to make it without having that behind you.
The other day when I saw that Kim got a $150 million G650ER custom built, it was such an emotional roller coaster of feelings because I was like, go Kim, in the sense, obviously, I'm a Taylor Swift glass. I'm a Swiftie, but I appreciate reality TV people that make it. It's mind-boggling what she was able to pull off. And sometimes I'll text Perez and he's the only one that remembers when he was more famous and I was more famous and she was coming to our Millions of Milkshakes event. Like, but that's the game. Everyone's always less famous than somebody. Like you watch Kanye in that documentary, he was not famous compared to all these people and then surpassed. So it is part of the just the hierarchy of fame. Like I was saying the other day to Heidi, I talk about this stuff a lot. Anytime you people are like, oh, it's the Kardashians are not famous. People forget. And everyone's hanging on. Kim is the famous one. She just has such a strong ensemble cast to the Kim show. It just ended up going with the Kardashians. But Kris Jenner, Kourtney, everyone involved, including Kanye, they're just strong ensemble cast members. We'd never had that. Like, you know, my sister's entertaining, but she's not the level you need to be of, you know, Kourtney and Cutthroat. It's just a different, you know, Heidi's sister. We didn't have a big enough, you know, Heidi's mom. It's just Candy, a whole different world.
Candy on Housewives of Atlanta, she recognizes that because she's had so many spinoffs with Bravo. She gets them all the time. And it's because she brings in like her workers, like her assistants and everything and her family. She's got this crazy mother and these aunts and stuff. And she brings them all in and she's been doing spinoffs. And now I think it's today. She's got her own like a Vanderpump Rules type show coming out about the restaurant that they made. So she like knows that, like she knows it's not just enough for me to have, like, I've got to have, you know, all these supporting players. So when I talk about, like, you've got to have, like, the network has to decide, like, we want to back you and make you a thing. Like, I feel like Rylan was a good example because you've talked about this before about how when you did CBB, you felt like it was rigged for Rylan to win and then they made him a star and they made him the host of, you know, the Big Brother. And, like, he had star quality. Like, he's good. He was really good at the host. But so the network obviously recognizes this person has like potential and then they put everything behind to, you know, rig shows and stuff to like get them to that level that they see them at.
No, yeah, he went into Big Brother as a Big Brother expert, had already, so if you even quizzed him on the thing, he knew, you're like, oh my God, this guy could host, this is our new host, because he knew every single season. I already forgot, but I swear he like auditioned for the civilian one, like he knew everything about it. He was like a CBB encyclopedia, and you saw that he went on, did the singing thing and was a big thing and could be all crying. And, you know, he's a star. Don't get me wrong. And I wonder what happened to him, because I feel like he lost his momentum.
When they got rid of Big Brother, then he disappeared because that was his thing. So when they got rid of CBB in the UK, and then he kind of burned out everything because he had already done.
That's the problem. It's mind-boggling that it must just cost so much money for that show that they couldn't keep that show going.
Yeah, I don't know. I was surprised they got rid of it because it was so good. It was definitely like the best Big Brother worldwide. I don't think any of the other ones compared to it. I wonder if maybe with things being more PC now, because I feel like that CBB UK was like pretty hardcore. Like that was not politically correct at all. Like that was a really like anything goes kind of show.
I wonder if Netflix or like will take get that show one day. Like, it's so interesting they're not trying to put that on a streamer. Maybe there's a certain amount of years and then they can, but
they're doing new things with Big Brother. Like, they did CBB Australia. You got offered that. I'm not spilling that tea because that was already out in the tabloids. So
how did that season do? Because I already told my manager. Ah, bummer. I told my manager, like, get me back on CBB Australia now that the quarantine's over. And he was like, I don't think.
Do you regret? How much did they offer you to do it? Because they were cutting big checks.
550.
I think that was Caitlyn Jenner's level. Like, that's what they were paying her too.
So if I would have done it if it didn't have the two. When they were like, you have a little window. You know, like I said, I'm soft. I can't be in a... If you're going to pay me to be in the quarantine part, it makes sense.
But 550 is like 550. That's a big check.
Yeah, but I think I got 850 for UK with no quarantine. The quarantine was at the Dorchester or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It's a boy. So
you can't be hurting for money if you can turn down 550, because you always do, like, you're always like, yeah, we're broke now since the Hills, but like, you must be doing okay if you can be like, yeah, nah, I'm gonna turn down half a mil.
Well, I look at Lisa's 5+ weeks of leaving Gunner, who literally, if I'm not reading him a book every night, is crying himself to bed. So I imagine after taxes, that's cut in half. I think we're in the 55%. So now we're down to 250.
Oh, fuck. An
agent takes 10%. A manager takes 10%. The lawyer takes 5%.
Oh.
You know, the amount of, you know, time of 5 weeks of not selling crystals every day, going live, dealing with our suppliers. It just starts, if it was 550 in my pocket, boom, I'm now sacrificing. But when you start taking everyone's cut of the pie and then being a dad that I do want to be part of every second of my son's life, it starts becoming, now it's not.
But yeah.
If I'm not a dad and it's 550 and I'm keeping 550, I'm locking myself in for 2 weeks doing push-ups all day, getting a six pack and going nuts and then coming in hot and making a hit show. But like, I don't even know what that, I would have to do that math. I ended up, then you take that number that I brought it down to, and then you divide that by 24 hours because you're now on camera 24 hours a day. And then I swear it was like I was getting paid $25 an hour or something. I was like, you know, it starts, and then you start valuing your time. You're like, do I value my mental sanity? And solo, I don't know. I've done both those shows, all these shows with Heidi always. It's a major strength to have Heidi with me. You know, all of a sudden now I'm by myself just having to deal with some of the most annoying people ever.
Yeah, well, the Australian version, it was pretty cheesy. I mean, there was no drama. They definitely did like a family-friendly kind of thing. It's more just like playing competitions against each other and like spilling tea. They got a lot of people in there that could spill tea for headlines. Like, they had Caitlyn Jenner. They had Omarosa. They actually, I don't know where the fuck they got the money in Australia to get this level. Like, Omarosa, Thomas Markle Jr., who went there and spilled all the tea about Megan. I think he read out a letter on air that he had written to her. Like, Omarosa with the Trump stuff. Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner with, you know, Kardashian tea and Kanye tea. And then they had some Australian people too. And the Australian people all came in with stories about, you know, like, famous people that I'd hooked up with. Like, it was, and no one even watched it. And then they aired it in the UK. So the UK bought the rights to it as well. And then it tanked in the UK and they didn't even finish airing the whole thing. So, yeah, I don't know where they got the money. Yeah.
Guess I should have. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. It is what it is. You know, I think the IRS would have got all the money.
Did you feel like when you did CBB All Stars, did you feel like that one was rigged as well, like the first, or was that just like free for all?
That one was way more free for all. Because Richard Desmond didn't own it anymore.
Oh, okay.
And he was on the phone all day with producers, and, you know, we could have won it. Once you get in there, and you start doing, like, we begged everyone to get us out of there. We could have won. But when you start thinking, I have 11 more days you already did it once and you knew you didn't get any extra. If you live there, you really can maybe milk it for a year and get lots of checks. But with us, you have like 4 days to maybe, you know, get one exclusive where you get a check from a tabloid, you know, maybe go on one little TV, their view, you know, the chat or whatever it's called, and get a quick little check. Yeah, loose them and get a little check. So you start doing all the math and like the strength. You're like, if we get out now, we get the same amount of money as if we were in here for 11 more days, and they have to cover our hotel. And in it, it's like premium hotel, and that's, I feel it's 1,500 maybe more pounds a night at the Savoy. So they have to cover the 12 nights there until the finale. So you're like, we actually make more money invested into us by getting out now and losing. And we have 12 days in England to go out and be famous and spend time trashing like people in the house, you know, do tabloids. So that was why we, you know, pulled the ripcord.
You didn't have to deal with Kim Woodburn anymore either.
Shush. I don't think that's a shtick, by the way.
I don't think it is either. I'm surprised with people that, like, I get people standing her as in the entertainment value, but people that genuinely take her side, I'm like, she's fucking insane.
Yeah, like, it's good for her to be able to get that far being, like, clinical. You know, like, you know what I mean?
Like, your fights with her were like amazing. I watched them on YouTube. They're so funny.
She was like, you couldn't even. That's the thing. I wish these shows were like the NFL, where there was incentives to do more. Cause like, once you, it's a hard balance of like, I'm getting paid, but if I do this, like, if you get this many tweets while you do something, you're going to get paid more. Cause I would treat reality TV like a real mercenary, but I'm always trying to balance, you know, like, do I really,
I feel like you really phoned in, what was it? I think it was Marriage Boot Camp. There was one that you did where you just seemed like you didn't really care that much. Or maybe it was a different show.
Marriage Boot Camp was so fun. I think they just edited around how much fun we had. They should have just made it a party show. So I think they tried too hard to make it like a real marriage boot camp.
Oh, yeah, like a serious counseling.
But thing. When we were, that was like the most fun 2 weeks. So maybe if I look like I was phoning it in, it's like they would catch me like hungover or like so liquor that I was just like, like they had.
Yeah, there was a lot
non-stop tequila, margaritas. They had a chef like that I talk about all the time. Was like the best 15 days of TV ever at a mansion in Beverly Hills. Like, yeah, we were having so much fun. So I think they just didn't show that it like looked like. They wanted to look like this is intense, boot camp, serious.
Was it real? Was that real when like Heidi was crying about Lauren and stuff during the challenge?
Heidi never fake cries. She cries. She's a real crier. I'm always like, why are you crying? And she's like, it's healthy. So no, she never fake cries. So if she was crying, it was real. You know, she has so many emotions without, you know, LC. People are always like, why are you bringing up LC? It's like, this girl got away with, like, what's the word? Like, image murder. Like, she got to murder Heidi's image with a $1 billion corporation backing her because they were funding her clothing line while this was, like, that's what people don't get. We were set like that during the Hills, LC's line. A Viacom was funding it. They were her bank. Like, you think they're going to have, you know, it was just so nuts. So, yeah, of course, people are like, why are you still bringing it up? It's like, oh, you think this is our life? You think this is going to go away now? Like, it's time to move on. It's like, where's the apologies? Where's the, you know, da 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 da? Like, that's why I want to do the TikToks because I haven't even got to where.
I think stick with the TikToks.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just getting pumped up. Like, I can't wait to do Brody because Brody's still like the other night at dinner. He's brainwashed himself, and I don't even want to argue with him about it. And he keeps always saying, well, Spencer, your goal was to be the most hated person in the world. That's what you'd always say. And I was like, huh? He's like, no, my goal was to be the next Simon Cowell, not Casey Anthony, OJ Simpson, like, you know what I mean? The list that I was getting put on, it was like, you got confused by what I was saying about being a role of a Simon Cowell, which was very strategic. You, by sabotaging our friendship and aligning with the girl saying all these lies about my wife and I, you, like, so I can't wait to just break it all down. But
wait, do you think Brody will have you on his new podcast?
No, yeah, he already was like, we need you to come on his show. And I literally was like, haha, you need to pay me. And then Frankie's like, we need you on the episode, take you to Nobu. I was like, these guys, like, you really just didn't include me when I'm the one going viral recapping this stuff.
But if he has, you should go on though. If
I'll go, they pay.
If he,
oh,
but if
oh,
he admits my. All the stuff, because didn't you say that he admitted all this stuff for Hill's New Beginnings and they cut it
yeah,
out?
Yeah, but he was so liquored, you know, like truth serum. I don't think.
So if he's like, all,
so, yeah, yeah. So I just won't do it unless they pay. I'm done. I'm going to do every podcast but that podcast to just make a point to that company. Like, that you think, and you even use my name, Heidi's name, in your press release, like the behind the scenes, the secret light. It's like, don't use my name because you're not getting any of my behind the scenes. They're going to be on TikTok for freeze.
Are you, I want to ask, who's the worst reality star you've worked, like, not including The Hills? Because you've done so many different reality shows, like I'm a Celeb and, you know, Marriage Boot Camp, and like, who's the worst?
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Really? That's so random.
Yeah, definitely. He was the worst person. He, good for him. Like, what he is the best actor. You know, I was just a rookie. I didn't get that, like, he was so method. Like, he's like, if I'm doing this, I'm winning this. But yeah, I don't remember why, because they were drugging me out in the jungle on, you know, the nurse was giving me Xanax or whatever in the tent. Like, so I don't
know.
Well,
you were so crazy on that
show. Well, yeah, because they were dosing me out, like, starving me and giving me like drugs in the nurse's tent. I wonder why I look crazy. You know, the producer's like, give him another dose. Give him another dose. Like, I was literally like, they're filming somebody, they're drugging out. That's why I think my NDA is probably cleared by now. But they ended up paying, I want to say, $500,000 to keep me quiet after.
Oh, to not talk about the drugs.
Yeah, like, oh, the whole situation. And the president of NBC pushed me on set, like a hard push. He's a big, this guy, Paul Telegdy, he's a big dude. Like, he's a big British dude. And he pushed me hard enough where, like, if I was, you know, in a perfect world, I would go back in a time machine. He pushed me. Heidi would have an iPhone to film it. And then I could fight him back. And, you know, we have a full, like, tussle.
Get a check from the lawsuit.
Yeah, I get a bigger check. But, you know, so it was shady.
Well, you saying that you were getting drugs, I had some listener questions. I got this one a few times. I didn't want to ask it, but when the listeners said it, I'm like, all right, I'll ask it. People want to know if at the end of The Hills, when you were going crazy, were you on drugs? Were you on crystal or were you just wearing crystals?
So this, I watch back those scenes and I really think about everything we were going through. I was definitely, I was going through an emotional breakdown. You know, I shouldn't have been filmed. I had been in Hawaii with what was going on with my family and what my sister was doing with, you know, and what they were trying to get me to do to my sister, to make my sister go to, like, what? And that's why I can't wait to go through all that and talk about all the behind the scenes. So no, I wish it would be the easiest out. I'd be like, yeah, I was on drugs, but no, unfortunately I was sober. Hold on. Heidi's coming in. So just maybe pause.
Oh yeah, you're
audio.
Right. I'll edit this out.
All right, cool. It'll be loud when the dogs bark. So no, unfortunately I was sober, just going through, you know, knowing The Hills was getting canceled, you know, all the cast was in denial. I knew Tony was telling us, you know, not talking with my family, Heidi not talking with her family, them just making us so hated.
So would that be one of the realest parts from the whole Hills? Are you going crazy at the end?
Yeah, probably. I would say.
the most unflattering part. You know,
and it's like,
there's a hiding stone.
Hey, go get a. Where's your ball? Oh, Gunner, I love you so much. Maybe play in your playroom for a minute or two. Do you want me to go in the other room? All right, I'm going to go in the office, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, back to looking crazy. And so, yeah, I was going through like a for sure emotional breakdown of just so much going on. But if they had put everything in context and had been a real docuseries, I don't think people would have thought I was on drugs. They would have been like, this freaking poor guy, I can't believe how
it's
everyone-
a mental health thing.
Yeah, like now all these people would have been canceled for what they were doing to me.
Like, for bullying you into like having an emotional breakdown.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of regrets and stuff, you've always talked about how you and Heidi sank all that money into our album Superficial and then the album flopped, but now it's like become kind of a cult classic. It's like iconic. Like people still listening to it, people still talk about it. So do you feel like now you feel like the investment was worth it?
No, you know, I mean, I love it all, but I think I would wish Bitcoin hadn't existed yet, so we couldn't have bought Bitcoin. But I think we should have just bought gold coins and put them in a safety deposit box. But would it's fun to listen to all the time. I mean, yeah, I drive around just listening to your album, so like in real life. Like,
yeah, you guys always, you have it like, I feel like every day almost on Instagram or something. Yeah, right.
I think of what we spent the most money in that people just never factor in was security and bodyguards. So part of me is like, did that keep us safe from getting robbed or attacked? And you'll never know because of what level of the deterrent was.
You were pretty paranoid back then.
No, I mean, we were so hated. It's not, it was like, you could say paranoid or aware. It was not like, it was a different world. Not everyone was hated. Now everyone's hated on every app and every like the media was just targeting us. And so, yes, part of me is like, we should have just risked it and just rather spent that money on so many things I think about now than how much bodyguards cost. It's the most money ever, $1,000 a person.
I got some listener questions that I just want to wrap up with. Okay, I know you probably get this a lot, but I actually got so many questions. People want to know about you and Stephanie. So I guess you and Stephanie still aren't really talking that much, right?
You know, we tried to see her on Christmas, you know, and we got her a Proud Daddy crystal that she ended up not wanting. And we were there and tried to do Christmas with her. And she, for some reason, she's spun it. But it's all good in her head that like we're the like that we did something, but I don't think she could just use Google and figure out it was actually the reverse. But you know, everyone has their different realities. But the other day I did help my dad. She left two of her luggage for Europe at her place, and I did help my dad race across Los Angeles to take her luggage to the airport. So I feel like at least maybe that will neutralize whatever is in her brain. You know, again, we were all good. I helped bring her back onto the hills. Everything I've, you know, it's when people have their own. We don't see things the same way, obviously, because I'm not the villain in our relationship. And so
is this still going from when she fat shamed you on Instagram, or is this a new fight since then?
But that's what I mean. I haven't even been fighting back. That's what's so funny. This goes all the way back to when she had that podcast that was just unhinged on whatever, and it was just literally all lies, saying that like Heidi tried to drown our golden retriever. I mean, we're talking just batshit level nutso, you know, that she shouldn't have, people should have taken the mic and been like, well, you need to get some help type situation. So that was weeks of that I didn't go on a podcast and go in and, you know, address what I think was really going on. And then when the Hills came back, and, you know, she chose not to do it. I didn't say, she literally said, I want $95,000 an episode or I'm not doing it. She chose not to do it. So now she's mad. The show came back and she's not on it, is what I think. And she's fat shaming Heidi and I, grabbing photos off of, you know, the internet saying, oh, my brother and Heidi are, congrats, you're both pregnant, da, 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 da. Again, I didn't even respond, but somehow again, we're the bad guys. And then, so we're like, it's all good. We're going to move forward. We'll see you. We're going to be there at Christmas. You should be there. And she wouldn't be there and like left the house. So,
have you and Stephanie always, like, were you never really that close ever?
she in her head, like, always tell, like, if you ask her, we were best, like, no, like, you know, I was a brother, like, I was a good brother, but it's like, you know, it's not like, not some, not like, Derek Huff and Julianne Huff over here, you know? So I was always as close with Stephanie as I was with my older sister, which is, they're my sisters, but we lived in the same house. It's not like,
yeah,
went on vacations with our family together, you know, like, but
is she friends with LC?
No, she never was. LC, that's what I can't wait to get to on TikTok. She literally TikTok. Used my sister as a pawn, you know, to like, oh, I can, another ally, like, I took his best friend, now I'm going to take his sister. Like, she's so good for her, you know. I don't know if the producers told her, if she's that just savvy with the game, but she, you know, once she's not filming, never talk to my sister ever again. It was just, you know, she used my sister as a straight up pawn. And you know,
if WeTV calls and they want you and Stephanie for family boot camp, are you doing it?
We did a you know, pre-Hills, we did a pilot for a WeTV like sibling show, and it was like the craziest freaking thing I've ever been a part of, and I don't know how it didn't get picked up. So, you know, now, yes, if like I'm trying to get these checks, if it's, you know, I'm back in the game, but, you know, so yes, if the, I don't know if they have the budget.
What do you think of Paris Hilton's comeback? Don't you think that she's just really like, because she was out of the game for a while. Now she's like on Netflix. I mean, she really milked the, she milked that boarding school thing a lot, but like it worked. She got Netflix, she got on Peacock, like.
I know. I started thinking like, do I have something? Like,
yeah, like a trauma.
Yeah, like where's my like secret? I couldn't figure anything out. I mean, good for her. She should have never been unplugged. If Kim's going to have a $150 million jet, like, but again, Paris didn't have the right teammates. Like now Kathy wants to play. Now, yeah. You know, Nikki never wanted to be in it. She's a Ross child. She's set for life. So she's in the Illuminati.
I
wonder if the fact that her sister is in the Illuminati got her back in now.
Oh, yeah, they go to the leg up. Well, I can't believe she got 10 episodes out of that wedding. I didn't watch it, but I thought that the Paris in Love, I'm like, okay, this will be like 3 episodes max, like a mini wedding special. It's like a 10-episode, like, whole season on Peacock.
I wonder how much that paid. I bet I would love to know.
I mean, are you still shopping around your Pratt Daddy spinoff with the crazy girls that work at Pratt Daddy Crystals? Because I feel like, I mean, Andy's a hater, but like Peacock would be perfect for that.
I just need more budget to shoot a longer presentation. You know, you need nowadays, you can't do it off a concept. You can't do a treatment. Like you need a solid pilot episode, and you know, what I shot with our budget was probably like $5,000. I feel like we need 70,000 more to really, you know, come with a, and that's what these production companies do. But that's a lot of faith. Nowadays, production companies don't have that budget to like, oh, maybe. So.
Have you thought about Zeus and Natalie Nunn can hook you up? Because I feel like they're investing in shows like what they've done with that Jocelyn's Cabaret. Like, that's pretty big, that the Jocelyn's Cabaret show.
So, do they have money? It's hard for me to really, like, Natalie's such a, like, a hustler. I just never know if, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also, though, even if they're not, like, okay, maybe Natalie Nunn's not. Making maybe she's like barely making anything off.
Looks like she's bawling. That's what I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the image. Just to say, well, I've got a show on. You know what I mean? Like it makes Natalie look relevant. Like, oh, she's still doing this thing. And then Jocelyn. I don't know. I feel like the Jocelyn Cabaret. It's kind of low budget, but Zeus is pretty cool because it's like it's old school reality TV and like anything goes. Like that. It's not PC. It's like it's crazy. Like some of the stuff they're doing on there, I'm like, how? Like it would push the envelope for even like Flavor of Love days. But like that's what they're doing there. So it's kind of cool to have the. I think to have the freedom if you're doing that show, to know like we can like do anything we want on here and like it'll Zeus will be cool with it.
I think after this, I'll get back onto it. I just lost so much momentum. I thought MTV and Paramount was, and I didn't realize for some reason, like they're anti Spidey. And like, because we had a great pitch that we brought, to MTV that was such a no-brainer that that's why it distracted me. I was like, this is going to be our new stripped show that could be on forever. And even the production company that does these shows for MTV was like, we love that, but we got a call from MTV that, you know, they're not doing that show with you guys. I'm like, so it was weird, you know, so maybe that's why you don't tell the truth. You know, I feel like I never bashed MTV by bashing the cast. Like that's 101 every, but maybe they didn't appreciate me. And all I said was it's not getting picked up. It didn't get picked up. I told the truth. You didn't like do it because I said that. It's because.
Well, it got the most press anyway. That's what got The Hills New Beginnings the most press was you going out and like trashing it because the others weren't doing much. I mean, some of them would do like a Cosmopolitan, like what's in my bag for YouTube that like no one watches, you know?
So I don't know if that hurt my relationship with them, you know, but they didn't try to work with me for 7 years after The Hill. So I just don't think they've ever wanted to be back when I said we've never had a network behind us.
Yeah.
And I thought we had it with We for a minute there when we did Marriage Boot Camp. We had some meetings and, you know, I thought back in those days we were going to become, but I just feel like We kind of even, I don't know the update. I feel like they lost that momentum and whatever funding they had and budget to just go out and make, you know, new.
You and Heidi would be like a shoo-in either for just to do a Wii TV like family show. Like they do that with Kendra, you know, they did it with Kendra for years until they ran out of steam on that.
Is Wii still making shows though? Like, I don't even know. Are they?
Actually, that's true. I don't know. I feel like they've stopped with, I haven't heard much about Marriage Boot Camp anymore. Oh no, I think they still do it, but it's, they only do like the hip hop edition.
So Heidi and I were going to think about coming up with an because I saw Nick Lachey and Jessica just killing it. Not Jessica, Nick Lachey and Vanessa.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And then they just got another spinoff. I was like, Heidi, we need to come up with our own dating show that we host and produce that's like an extreme version of Marriage Boot Camp, like that type of thing where like we put couples through like the wildest tests that, you know, are not what a normal couple goes through that we've experienced, you know? And so I think,
well, you know, Nick and Vanessa, they've got another show now. So they did Love is Blind, and then Love is Blind has done so well that Netflix has given them a new one called The Ultimatum.
That's what I mean. We need to get in that. Good for those two. And that's the easiest check. Like that was so funny when that guy said, I'm only attracted to Vanessa. The look on Nick's face, like, whoa.
Yeah, I put that on IG. That was epic. I love Love is Blind. Tell people about your new show, Looped. On Looped, Judge Me. I watched some of the clips. It's pretty funny.
The way I wanted, like, how we developed it is my mom's favorite show my whole life growing up was Judge Judy. So, and I know Judge Judy has $1 billion. So I was like, how do I become Judge Judy, but with like weird internet, you know, just there's so many weird stories out there. And already in the first three episodes, I mean, I thought I had heard everything, but how weird truly these things that go on now with the internet and catfishing and this. And so, it has so much potential, but it's hard. Like I was telling the people at Looped, it's hard to tell you we really get going because you have to buy tickets because it's a virtual audience, it's a live show. And, you know, I think they're just so ahead of the game. And that's why I was saying to them that we should merge two shows where it's like the Judge Me is the first part. And then Heidi comes on for an after show, after party for my show, like a real show would have an after party. And we drink and then we'd watch The Hills and recap it. And now we have something that's worth pay-per-view because it's hard. I think it would be a great show if it was on, you know, if it was more available.
The concept's sort of difficult, especially since Looped is like a newer platform. I think it's hard for people to get their head around doing like a pay-per-view for it, and they're not used to, you know, if it's like YouTube, because I bought movies on YouTube before, and it's because I'm like familiar with YouTube and I know just click like the buy, you know, $10 and it charges to Google Pay or whatever. But when it's something like whole new, people have a lot of trouble getting their head around that.
That's exactly what I was explaining. So it's so groundbreaking, and like when you get into it and you're like all live, and now they bring the people up to the virtual stage and you're in this stage and there's a live chat and they're pulling up assets of like polls and bringing up like, it's so much technology. I'm like, dang, like, I feel like I'm in something that's in the future, but it's just like, I'm really ahead of where the audience and the people are and understanding. Once you get into it, everyone's like, whoa, this is crazy, you know, but so much potential. And I feel like it'll be, I don't think anyone will do a podcast without Looped in the future.
Oh.
Or a version.
Yeah.
You know, if Spotify doesn't buy them or, you know, take their technology, but it's too wild to have a live chat, video in HD 4K, multiple screens, Chirons. You know, I'm like, that's what I was telling Heidi. Like, this is where we need to be relaunching
next level podcasts. Stuff. Like, yeah.
This is.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming back on the pod. Guys, check out Judge Me. The link is in the show notes. I'm pretty sure I have a discount code there too. I know.
I think everyone's going to start getting free. Like, we just gave 30 free tickets.
Oh.
Like, a lot. I think people need to see what they're getting. So this last episode, if you follow my stories, like, I'm, you know, giving out the live codes for the free things. But really, any listeners, even if you're in Australia, we ship to Australia. PrattDaddy.com, purchase crystals. It's our 100% income these days. So,
well, you've got the black tourmaline. Is that what it's called?
That is protection.
I love it. You know, I wear this because I always wear black as well. I wear this all the time. I absolutely love it. I've got this other one too that I wear sometimes. This one's like really big though.
So that's called the like earthy name is amphibole quartz, but we now call them angel wing quartz, because that's what like the energy people call them, and it sounds way better, angel wing, than amphibole.
When you look inside, it like
looks like honeycomb inside,
yeah, it's amazing. Like, you look through it and it's like the crystals are legit, guys. Like, this isn't tacky like new age gift shop like angel cards shit. These are like hand carved from like Afghanistan, Brazil. Like,
that is the problem now, though, with selling crystals, because everyone thinks they know, like, oh, they sell them at museums. And I'm like, it's like saying, oh, I have shoes that I got at Costco. And then you have, you know, some Gucci shoes. Like, they're not the same. Like, I don't, and you'd be like, oh, they're made this. Like, nope. Like, but that is the problem now. People are like, they'll message, why are your crystals so expensive? I'm like, these are, a lot of these are gemstones, first off, like the aquamarines and the tourmalines and the topaz. Like, these are gemstones. Like, you go to Tiffany's and get them. So it is hard now with everyone thinking they've seen crystals and they psych you. So, like, it was so funny. Last thing, we're at Mastro's about a week ago with this major big time mineral dealer selling $1 million crystals and up, like, for museums. And he took us out to Mastro's for dinner. And we come out, and this guy's like, oh, Spidey, where are your crystals at? Let me buy a crystal. I'm like, oh, you want to buy a crystal? He's like, yeah, I'll buy a crystal right now. And this guy, the big shot guy, is with me with his boxes of crystals he was showing me. And I'm like, Dexter, pull out that tourmaline. This guy wants to buy it. And he's holding. He's like, oh, I'll buy it right now. And I'm like, and he's like, how much? Dexter looks at him straight, cold face. He's like, $15,000. He's like, $15,000 for a crystal? It's like, people don't get, like, these things are not cheap. Like, when I got into crystals, I wasn't buying like all the ones I bought back in the Hills days and giving to, like, that's the biggest mistake I ever did, was giving crystals away to like Brody and Kristen and all these people. Like, oh, I want all those crystals back.
You've got to do the Uncommon James crystal collab. I'm sure you pitched that to her.
She's not a teammate like that. You know, I wish none of these, they're all just so, which is, that's fine, self-motivated. And I wonder if she got paid for that, that Magic Mike guy putting that whipped cream in her mouth and like sucking that out. You see that just now?
No, I haven't seen that. But I got a few questions about, people were like, is she with Austin and Craig from Southern Charm, which I thought that was old tea, but then I Googled it and it was just last month in Us Weekly they had a Kristen's love triangle with.
Well, she Southern denied Charm. She ever hooked up with that guy, and, you know, because he had talked about it on the like the Winter House with Paige, and then she's like, I never hooked up with him. I don't know. All I know is that she should be pitching herself to be the Bachelorette, and she would just become stupid famous.
Yeah, well, you said on another podcast, you were like, her company's going to be a $1 billion company eventually. And then I was like, oh, is Uncommon James doing that well? And then I checked the socials. And I'm like, oh, it looks like it's pretty big. Like, and she's expanding. I saw she had like skincare and baby clothes and stuff. Like, she's doing well.
I mean, what does she get? Half of Jay Cutler's $120 million? Yeah. You know, I'm like, if I had $50 million to invest in Prad Daddy right now, you know, and at this point, I'm sure she's brought in some outside investor people that, you know, took 4% or 5%. But I will say the biggest mistake I personally think she ever made is they would have given her the hills. She would have been the narrator. It would have literally been Uncommon James on MTV. She could have opened the LA store. The whole show could have been about her, and she didn't do that. So she must be doing so well that, you know, she felt, because that was literally offered to her, you know.
Yeah. Well, guys, get Pratt Daddy Crystals, prattdaddy.com. They've got cheaper stuff on there too. They've got bracelets for under 100. You've got like crystal pendants for around like, you know, 100, 200 mark. And then if you're feeling bougie, you've got stuff for a few grand if you've got that to spend. There's a lot on there. I love it. And check out Judge Me on loopedlive.com. And the links for everything will be in the show notes. So, yeah, thanks for coming back, Spencer.
And then Heidi needs to come on. So we need.
Oh, my God. Yes. We still got to get Heidi on, and I want to do the
I'll see if she can talk for a few minutes. It's just a little.
Oh my God, yeah.
One second.
Hey Heidi, can you hear me?
Hey, I can. Can you hear me?
How are you?
I'm good. Running around cooking, obviously.
I know you're busy. I just wanted to say hi.
Hi.
I love you. I feel like we've known each other on Twitter for a really long time, and you've got to come on the pod properly sometime. We can talk about like Superficial and everything. And I'm the biggest fan of your music. I have Superficial. I have the Dreams Come True EP. Even like the leaked songs are both versions of Heartbeat. Like, I'm, you know, I know every single Heidi song, and I'm just such a fan.
Amazing. Thank you. Let's try to do it next week.
Yeah, let's set something up. I will, I don't know, do I message Spencer? Who do I message? I'll tweet you.
Yeah, or you could DM me. But thank you. That means the world to me about my music. And I love Twittering with you. I know, I feel like I've known you forever. But I would love that. It would be an honor.
Oh, thanks so much. Well, look, I'll let you get back to cooking. And yeah, just it was good to say hi. And we're going to do a podcast soon. And I can't wait.
Okay, me too. We're going to get it in the books.
Yeah.
All right. I love you. Have a great day.